If you have your Bible, we're in Matthew chapter 26. Normally, obviously, on Palm Sunday, you'd preach on Palm Sunday, and obviously Jesus' triumphal entry into the city. Also known, if you're a Bible scholar, as Lamb Selection Day. And obviously, Jesus was our sacrificial lamb. I am going to talk this morning about other events that were taking place that you're familiar with. Last Sunday we talked about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. That's not a message that you hear talked about a great deal. And this is another uncomfortable message for me, the story. And I'll elaborate on that a little bit, but obviously it's about Mary breaking the alabaster box. And we're going to examine that a little bit. And so if you've got Matthew chapter 26, why don't you stand with me, please, as we look at verses 6 through 13. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, 'Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her.'" Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God and for the stories, the accounts that are recorded for us, obviously for our learning. I pray this morning as we look at this text that you would reveal its truths to us. Thank you for each one that chose to be here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There are certain situations that are recorded in the Bible that I wonder how I would have reacted. Obviously, last Sunday when we touched on Jesus washing the disciples' feet, as he went through the disciples, he came to Peter, and Peter was very uncomfortable with the whole situation. He says, "You're not going to wash my feet. You know, this isn't, you're our master, and this isn't right." And he wanted to shut the Lord down, and Jesus said to Peter, "If you won't let me wash your feet, then you'll have no part of me." And the reality of it is, if we're not willing to humble ourselves before the Lord and set aside who we think we are in our own importance, there's no chance that we will ever come to Christ. And every one of us at some point needs to recognize that I am nothing and Christ is everything, and whatever he wants, I am willing to do. And as he looked at Peter and says, "If I can't wash your feet, we're all through." Peter says, "Not just my feet, man, my hands, my face. I want you." And obviously it was a great statement by Peter. And for you and I hope that we'd not hold back anything from the Lord. Whatever he wants to do to us and for us, we're in. We're all in. Does that make sense? And so obviously it was an uncomfortable situation. I think even more uncomfortable is this story that we're looking at this morning, where obviously we'll tell the story, but the episode is recorded three times. We've got it in Matthew chapter 26. We also have it in Mark chapter 14, verses 3 to 9, and John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And we won't go read those accounts, but in Mark chapter 14, verse 8, along with the account that we read, it also says this phrase, "She hath done what she could." Say that with me. She hath done what she could. So obviously, the emphasis is that sometimes as Christians, we just need to do what we can. I can't sing. You won't hear me singing unless it's in congregational singing. But obviously, those three ladies that just sang, and for the other people involved in the music in this church, they have ability that God has given them. And I believe as the pastor, it's their responsibility that they use that. If you don't, then obviously what you don't use, you lose. And God gifts us to whom much is given, much is required. I was called to preach at a very early age, and if I don't do this, I will be held accountable for that. Whatever gift God has given you, you are accountable for using those gifts. So obviously we want to be busy doing those things. And it's recorded of Mary of Bethany. She did what she could. And that's a great lesson for us, but that's not the point of my lesson this morning. What's going on here is She was the sister of Martha and Lazarus. There was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. There was a family of three. I grew up in a family of three, Floyd, Linda, and Stanley. So I can kind of relate to the dynamic here. I'm not a Bible scholar, and I don't know if it's true or not. They're eating at the house of Simon the leper, and some scholars will tell you that Simon the leper was the dad to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's kind of interesting. So let's just say they're in their house. It makes sense to me that they are. And obviously, they would either have rooms that they were all shared in or had their own place, but it would make sense to me that Mary would have a place where she could go and get the alabaster box. If they're eating there, she probably went to her room and gave it. I don't know if she had this planned for a long time, knowing they were coming to dinner, or if she just did it spontaneously, recognizing the moment. Sometimes you and I can get caught up in the moment. Sometimes I've been in services in this church where you really sense something special is happening. You didn't know ahead of time, and you couldn't know it ahead of time. And I think perhaps on this particular day, as Jesus is dining with them, and Mary is there, we've got Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We know that she is also the one at a time previously recorded in the Bible where Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and she's got Jesus is over, and you want to put on a good plate, a good meal, and she wants it to all be just right, and maybe she got out the good china, and maybe she's doing all these things. And Jesus, I can picture him as a kid growing up. You hear these stories, and you always picture it as if it's happening in your own home. So I picture her out in the kitchen in our home that I grew up in. The living room is off the kitchen, little hallway, a recliner that Dad bought at Sears and Roebuck. I picture Jesus sitting in the recliner. I picture Mary on the floor at his feet, because that's what the Bible records. She's on the floor at his feet, listening as Jesus is talking. And Mary's out in the kitchen, and Martha's out in the kitchen doing all these things, and she comes in a huff. Now, guys, you ever seen a woman in a huff? I mean, it's something to behold. And I can see some of you ladies are offended that I'd even say that. So Martha comes in a huff, and she says, "Well, Jesus, Mary's not even helping me. I'm trying to fix a nice meal here, and she's not doing anything. When is she going to do her part?" And Jesus says, "Now, Martha, Martha, it's no big deal. There's one thing that it's needful, and Mary hath chosen the good thing." Now, Martha was kind of put in her place, but that was an episode that happened in the life of Christ with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. We know there was another episode as well where Lazarus was sick and Jesus wasn't around. And word comes to Jesus that Lazarus is sick. And Jesus waits a few more days before he goes. And Lazarus has died. And they go back to where Lazarus was, and they get to the house, and they get to the area where it was, and I don't know the layout, but I do know that Martha comes out to meet Jesus, but Mary stays in the house. And I think, if you look at this story, Martha comes out, and she says to the Lord, "Where you been? My brother's been sick. He died." Martha looks at him and says, "If you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He's dead, and it's your fault." That's what she said. Mary doesn't even come out of the house. She knows Jesus is there. She's not moving. I think in a way, now Mary's the one throwing the huff, saying, I called for him. He didn't come. You ever call for the Lord and you acted like he didn't come? I have. How's that help your relationship with the Lord? How's that go for you? You know, we have more communication now than we've ever had. Everybody's got a phone. Seems like it'd be easier to get a hold of anybody. It's harder than ever to get a hold of somebody. We got caller ID. Yeah, you all know where that's going. How's that relationship work with you when you call someone and they refuse to answer your call? When you call Christ and Mary's sitting there, okay, he's out there now, but Lazarus, my brother's dead. He didn't show up. I guess I'm just here. Martha goes back in and she says, "The Lord's calling for you." I didn't see that. That is exactly what Martha said. Maybe in the context, Jesus did ask for her and then it's not recorded. But I didn't see where it was recorded. I think Martha's just saying that to get Mary to come out of the house. Just me. Martha says, hey, the Lord's calling for you. Mary comes out, and she comes out and basically says the same thing to him that Martha said. You know, Lazarus is dead if you'd been here. And the Bible records that Jesus groaned in his spirit. You know, and every now and then, you and I have all been there where someone said something to us that just really, it cut. It hurt. And you don't know where it came from, or it seemed like out of nowhere. And they misinterpreted the intentions of Jesus Christ. And it was wrong. They were prejudging him. Jesus is incapable of error. Say that with me. Jesus is incapable of error. He didn't do it wrong. But boy, they sure thought so. In the shortest verse in the Bible, in that whole sitting, telling him that Lazarus is dead and it's your fault, and they're all upset, John 11:35 says Jesus wept. The loss, the sorrow, the misunderstanding, all the emotional turmoil going on there. So we've got the occasion in the Bible recorded where they were eating there and Martha was mad at Mary. Then we have the recording in the Bible where Jesus comes and Lazarus has died and Mary's mad at Martha and Jesus and things aren't well and they've lost their brother. But I got good news for you. You know the story. Jesus walks into that cemetery and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And that old boy gets out of from the dead 4 days. He walks out of there and he comes out, loose him and let him go. And they took his grave clothes off of him. And I'm telling you, regardless of the situation you find yourselves in, Jesus can rescue it. And it's just one of the greatest stories. And he made the announcement, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth in me shall never liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And next Sunday, that's the day we celebrate the resurrection. And I'm telling you, if you don't have a skip in your step as a believer on Easter Sunday, there's something wrong with your skipper. Because I'll tell you, that is the greatest day that we have in Christ is the resurrection. Because I've got dead loved ones that I'm planning on seeing again because of Jesus Christ. Folks, that's good news. So now we have all of that has taken place. Now we're eating at Simon the Leper. Jesus is there. Mary's there. Martha's there. Lazarus is there. Oh, man, I'm telling you, if you could have a meal with me, with Lori sitting there, holy cow. But there will be someday. I'm just trying to have a little. They had the opportunity of their dead brother coming back. Sad for Lazarus, is unless the Lord took him, and it doesn't record how that went, he had to die again. Man, that was a raw deal. I wonder about that. So here's the deal. They're all sitting there. And Mary goes, and the Bible records she gets an alabaster box of ointment, very precious. It cost 300 pence, or the basic wage for 1 year of a lower level individual. The wage of 1 year of basically most people in this room, no offense to the lower level, and there's no big money makers here. If there is, thank you. But we're just average folk. And Mary went into her room, I'm assuming, and she took out this box, and she came out, and you had to break the box to get the ointment out, and she put it on Jesus' head, and she put it on his feet, and she used her own hair, and I'm assuming it had to be long and thick, and she uses her hair to wipe his feet. And she does all of that, and the Bible records that the fragrance filled the room. And I don't know about you, but and she's crying and you're watching all this. And you ever been in a situation where that's like the ads on TV, you want to get away? You know those? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm watching all this going on and we've got this emotional woman doing this stuff to Jesus. And the disciples are all there and they look at this and King James Version says with indignation. What is this? Disgust would be a word. Judas, who keeps the money, who in another record records that he didn't care about that. He was the one that was the treasurer and kept the bag and quite frankly would have stolen it could he had gotten his hands on it. Said, we could have taken all this money and taken care of the poor. Yeah, right. The poor of my wallet, of how low it's getting and I need more. We could have sold this and I could have pocketed it. Really what it was all about. And Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. Now that didn't downgrade the poor or say the poor aren't important, but his point was this, is that there'll be plenty of opportunities for you to help the poor, but me you don't have with you always. She has done a good work on me. She has done what she could. She has prepared my body for the burying. Hello? What's that about? The title of the message is, You May Be the Only One. Say that with me. You may be the only one. Now, I want you to know this morning, you're not alone. You're in a house of believers. This is a good-sized church in the state of Maine. We are above average. I'm not saying that so that we can pat ourselves on the back. You're not alone in this church. But I'll tell you what, you may be alone in certain things. Number one, you may be all alone. You may be the only one who is listening. Hear me now. You may be the only one who is listening. Three times in the Bible, Jesus had said ahead of time, he's going to die. Matthew 16:21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and raised again the third day. Matthew 17:22, and while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. Matthew 20:18, behold, we go to Jerusalem, the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. Three times Jesus had said he was going to die, he was going to be killed, he was going to be betrayed. And Mary seemed to be the only one hearing that. And so she's preparing his body for the burial. See, in Jewish custom, after they die, they go, this one, remember when they go and find the empty tomb and the women, and they're taking spices to put on the body? Mary wasn't with them. I believe she's thinking, I've already done that. But on this day, in this story, she's preparing Jesus for his death. It's a very emotional thing, recognizing that I've heard what you said, Lord. I know you're going. And her spirit is breaking, and she's being crushed by the thought of him dying, and the others are sitting around clueless. You know, God has gifted men in many ways. One of the things that happens in birth is that when boys are in the womb, there's this testosterone bath that goes on your brain that kills brain cells, and it keeps you from being able to, men can't connect emotionally as much as females do. This doesn't happen in the girls, and I wrote some notes about it. Let's see. Boys in the womb are bathed with testosterone in their brain that pairs down the connection in brain cells so that they can't be in touch so much with their own senses. Boys are brain damaged, okay? You can see this, and I'm not, now, you got to remember, Jesus has got 12 disciples who seem to be clueless. It doesn't stop when we get older. And when they're young, I can remember Jeannie Dillon raised boys, and I can remember her telling Phil one time, years ago, don't go do this, and then she looked right at Phil, and she said, now, what did I say? And I'm thinking, she knows Phil. No. She knows boys, because boys, I've seen it. Well, Mom will tell us to do something. We'll head down the hall to do it, and we'll have no idea where we're going or why. We just know you need to get away from Mom. That's all. Go find this. Go do that. We just sometimes, you can hear, most men do not need hearing aids. Now, I know they get prescribed them, they're given them, because their wife usually says, he can't hear me, he can't hear me, he can't. No, God has given us the ability not to hear a female voice. It's just the way it is, you know? So, sometimes, and I'm making light of the situation, but the reality of it is, as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, one of the things that is a great angst to me is that as we're preaching the message that Jesus saves, that he loves you, that he gave his life for you, that if you'll put your faith and trust in him, you will never need to die. And people go out of here, no matter how clearly and plainly you say it, they do not hear it. You and I have witnessed to folks, and it's like there's a wall up, and they're just not making the connection. Now, I understand there's a spiritual element in this. Satan can blind them. He can close them off. I know all of those things, and we can't get into that this morning, but the reality of it is that if God is speaking to you this morning, do not take that for granted, and you may be the only one that's hearing what he's saying, because God speaks to you personally in a way that he'll speak to Glenn that he's not speaking to William. It's frustrating to me. I'll preach a message and think, man, oh man, Terry really needs to hear what I got to say, and this is going to be so good. And of course, I'm just picking on Terry because he's in the front, and we always do. But the reality of it is that Terry will not hear anything of what I think Terry needs to hear. Terry's going to hear what God wants Terry to hear. It's got nothing to do with me. Someone will come up to me and say, preacher, I just loved what you said. And they'll tell me what I said. And I'm thinking, I didn't say that. That isn't me at all. And I won't tell them. I never said that. But that's God speaking to them, because the Spirit of God speaks in a way that you and I can't possibly understand to comprehend. But I'll tell you what, Mary heard something and she got it, and the rest of them didn't. You may be the only one who's listening, but God's speaking to you in a special way. Please don't miss it. It's possible God's speaking to you in a way that if you ask someone else about it, they wouldn't even be able to understand what you're talking about. I'm not saying it's in tongues. I'm not saying it's a strange language, but I'm telling you that God speaks to us personally. And he spoke to Mary, and she understood the angst of what was going on, and the other ones didn't. She was the only one listening, it seemed to be, but God had spoken to her. You may be the only one listening. You may be the only one losing. You may be the only one losing. And what I mean by that is that Mary lost herself in what she was doing. I don't know about you, but it's not a revelation to you. If you've attended this church for any amount of time, I don't like to cry. I don't like to show my emotions. Most men don't. There are other things we could get into, but for the lack of time, we won't. But the reality of it is that for you to serve Christ, you have to lose yourself. You have to. It's not about you. It's about Christ. And sometimes God will ask you to do something. He will say, Stan, I can't do that. You know, there are people that can sing in this church that don't sing. Now, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. Don't get me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that you've got to lose yourself in your service for the Lord. It's not about whether, you know, sometimes we get embarrassed. I said something to someone last Sunday after church. It haunted me for days. It takes me 3 days to get over something. If you say something bad to me, it's going to take me 3 days to get over it. I said, oh, great. Here goes another 3 days, you know? So I said something stupid. I don't know if it offended them, but after I said it, they said, man, I wish I hadn't said that. Now I have to deal with that, and I have to think about that. And then if you go and say something to them again, you've only added more to it, and you're just making the mess worse. Am I the only one that's ever thought this stuff? And you think, it just comes with the job. But you know what? Sometimes when I'm preaching and I'll say things or do things or act out things, and then I'll watch it on the tape and think, holy, please don't air that. Don't let that go out. And thankfully, my wife edits a lot of my messages and she can fix things. But you know what? I was taught, and I believe it more than ever at 55 than I did at 21, if you don't lose yourself in the ministry, you'll never be effective. And Mary is there, and everybody's saying, this is stupid, and she's crying, and she's loving on the Lord, and she's giving herself totally to the Lord, and she's holding nothing back, and nobody gets it but her. And I think every now and then you and I need to do something that we're not concerned about anybody else but what God thinks. And I know for a fact there are times where we are not sold out to the Lord for fear of what someone else might think. I know for a fact people don't respond to the invitation for fear of someone might think. I know for a fact people will die and go to hell for pride that if I confess Christ, my friends might not like me. And that's a disaster. Forget about everybody else. Lose yourself to the things of the Lord. And if you're the only one, don't let it bother you. A while ago, I gave the invitation. One person raised their hand. Thank God. It's huge. Every time someone comes to Christ, folks, that's huge. Eternity rests on it. It's the greatest thing that happens in any gospel preaching church that someone comes to the Lord. But that person confessed Christ, wasn't second guessing it, but they said to the person they were with who was saved already, I was the only one that raised my hand. And that bothered that person, because that person was the only one. And they came to me about that afterwards, and I said, well, you may have been the only one, but there were probably others that needed to, and they did not. Thank God you did. And I want you to know there are going to be times where, I love the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. One verse is, though no one join me, I still will follow. Say that with me. Though no one join me. You may be the only one listening. You may be the only one losing. You've got to lose yourself. Mary said, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm going to make a fool of myself if that's what it takes, but the Lord's going to know I love him. And she lost herself in what she was doing. Everybody else was embarrassed, but she wasn't. Thank God for her sacrifice. You may be the only one listening. You may be the only one losing. And lastly, you may be the only one longing. And I don't know about you, but I long for a closer relationship with Christ. I want to know him better. I want the power of the Spirit of God on my life. I want my life to matter. And the only way that can matter is to be closer to Jesus Christ. And we sing about it all the time, that the old Bangor Baptist Church, where you sing, longing, longing for Jesus. I have a longing in my heart for him, just to be near him, to feel his presence. There are other songs that we sing. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. More of you. More of you. I've had it all, but what I need is more of you. Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still, empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. I'm not going to ask for hands this morning, but do you long for a closer relationship with Christ? Is there something in your heart just tugging and say, Lord, I want more of you. I want to be closer to you. And I'll tell you what, if your marriage is struggling this morning, I'm telling you, if you just long for Christ, he'll bring you closer together in your marriage. If you're struggling in anywhere of your life, the answer is not more money for your finances. The answer isn't more of this or more of that. The answer in your life as a Christian is more of Christ. And if you get more of Christ, the other things will take care of themselves. And that may require you to do something that embarrasses yourself. Forget it. Lose yourself. And it may require you to hear something that nobody else is saying, but God is speaking to you. Then listen. But I'm telling you, the Bible records that she hath done a good work. And wherever this gospel is preached, wherever the good news is said, this will be talked about of her. She will never be forgotten. And I'm not looking for notoriety, but I'll tell you this. You sell out to Jesus Christ. You listen to him. You lose yourself for him. You long for a closer relationship with him. And mark it down. In the halls of eternity, in the kingdom of God, you will not be forgotten. Heavenly Father, more of you. God, we long for more of you. Lord, you know my heart. It seems like the more I want of you, the more struggles we seem to face. The more I want you to fill me with your spirit, the more stress seems to become involved. And Lord, I've made up my mind, and you know my heart. I would rather have chaos with Christ than what the world offers for peace without you. God, fill us with your presence. Help us to be determined that, Lord, I will follow you. I have decided to follow Jesus. Though no one join me, I still will follow. And Lord, every one of us have experienced lonely times in Christ, where it seemed like we were all alone, but we are never alone. Lord, if there are folks here this morning that have never said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior, I pray right now they'd say those words. Lord Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior. Perhaps this morning you're talking to them about maybe responding to the invitation, getting out of their seat and coming down to an old-fashioned altar, getting on their knees before you. Maybe folks have held back on that in the past because they're afraid of what someone might think. Oh, Lord, help that thought to never enter our minds anymore. Help us to lose ourselves in obedience to you. Lord, you had said three times, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die. Seemed like only Mary heard. And I pray whatever we've been saying over and over and over, maybe today this is the first Sunday that someone finally heard that you loved them, you died for them, and if they'll put their faith and trust in you, they can live forever. Good news. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Lord, if folks are willing to pray that prayer today, I hope they'd say those words. Obviously, we'll put it up on the screen when the service is over. But I hope folks would come out, get out of their seat and come down and talk to you and then maybe shake my hand and say, I trusted Christ today. Whatever it is you want from us, Lord, help us not to be concerned about whether it would embarrass us. Help us to be concerned about whether we're obeying you. Bless the invitation, please. In Jesus' name, amen.